talk about this incredible subject, there is more. You know, as Jesus was nearing the time of his death, he began to talk extensively about the Holy Spirit. You know why he did that? Because he wanted them to understand the operation of the Holy Spirit. It is very important. It is essential that we understand all that God does for us, in us, through us, by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus began to talk extensively about the ministry of the Holy Spirit because he was going to be gone, but the Holy Spirit was coming to take his place. You know, and that was his message. He would soon leave them, but he would still be with them through the Holy Spirit. So then after his resurrection, he instructed them to not leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And what is that promise? The promise of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is what is theologically called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to kind of dive into this. I've entitled this Empowered for Life. You cannot live successfully or effectively without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. It's impossible. And that's why Jesus instructed his disciples, wait for the promise. Don't do anything until the empowerment takes place. So the promise of the Holy Spirit was emphasized by Jesus himself. Let's visit it. Two passages in the Gospel of John. John 14:26. He said, but the Comforter, and y'all know I use the Amplified Bible a lot, because what it does, it simply gives you further explanation of certain words. So here's a perfect example of that. But the Comforter, and here's what that means. Counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit. That's who the Comforter is. He's the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener. He is our standby. And he says, the Father will send him in my name, in my place, to represent me and to act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Can I tell you, as a minister of the gospel, in preparing sermons and teachings, I'm always putting stuff together. Constantly. And can I tell you that in that preparation time, that the Spirit of God constantly brings things to my memory, you know, because it's in the reservoir. And that's why you have to get the Word of God in you. It's got to be in the reservoir. And so many people, their reservoir is about that big. So he can't bring much to memory. Are y'all with me on that? He can only bring to memory what is in the reservoir. Now, if your reservoir is big, then guess what? You're going to have more effectiveness, greater revelation, greater understanding. So he said he will cause you to recall, will remind you, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Then he said this in John 15:26. And again he says, but when the Comforter, notice the same words, counselor, helper, advocate, etc. He says, when he comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes or proceeds from the Father, he himself will testify regarding me. I believe that God wants to bring the level of our experience to a greater height. And I believe when that happens, when we surrender and we open up to the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of people that are afraid of the Holy Spirit. And you have to get past the weirdness. Let's just lay it out there, right? You got to get past sometimes the weirdness because it seems weird. There's things that seem weird to us. Weird to our mind. because it goes beyond the understanding. Now think about when somebody, the Bible says when somebody prays in tongues, it says that they are bypassing the understanding. They're speaking in the language of the Spirit. They are bypassing the understanding. So a lot of people struggle in getting past that understanding. So this is why we got to go to the Word. You know, when I got born again and somebody asked me, have you received the Holy Spirit? I was just like in the book of Acts. What does that mean? So, well, you know, have you been baptized? Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? And do you speak? Are you able to speak in tongues and pray in tongues? I said, no. Is it in the Bible? Yeah, it's in the Bible. Let me show you. I said, well, let's go. Let's get it. Amen. If it's there, let's go. Hallelujah. And I'll never forget the night, Becky's father's church, they used to have wooden altar benches in the front. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all been to some of those churches. They have wooden altar benches all along. People would come and kneel and pray. And I remember kneeling at that altar bench, and the power of God shot through me. It was an incredible experience. And I'm going to tell you, I felt it. And when I felt it, I experienced it, and I moved to a different level in God. To a greater level, because I stepped into empowerment, because I was struggling with all kinds of struggles. I was trying to break free from a life of sin. I was trying to break free from vices and habits and associations and, you know, in wrong places and all of those things. And it was a struggle. How many of you know it's a struggle to break free from the old and to step into the new? But that's where the empowerment comes in. So the Holy Spirit is the promise of empowerment. The Holy Spirit is essential for a believer to be effective in their walk of faith. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers you and I to live for God and to be representatives of Jesus Christ. And we are representatives. It is the Holy Spirit who equips us to stand against the devil's end time onslaught against God and against his people. And boy, we are in an end time onslaught. We are there. Every born again child of God, at the moment of their salvation, they step into a divine calling. I want you to get that. Because a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher. That is a calling for all of those ministries. But I'm here to tell you tonight, every born-again child of God, not some, not those called to public ministry, every born-again child of God, at the moment of their salvation, they step into a divine calling. They simply have to find out what that calling is. It's for everybody. God instills gifts and callings in the life of every believer, and it can only be activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way it's activated. There are many believers today who are inactive because they have never experienced an encounter of the Holy Spirit. So they are inactive. Now, what does that mean? It simply means that they are not able to release what is already on the inside of them, because they haven't experienced the encounter. Now check this out. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the apostle says this. Now he's writing to a body of believers, right? Notice how he starts this verse. Has each of you. He didn't go to one group here or one group there. He didn't single anybody out. He addressed the entire body. He says, has each of you has received a gift? Wait, what? Each of you has received a gift. Notice again what the Amplified Bible says in parentheses, a particular spiritual talent, a spiritual ability, I love this next thing. A gracious divine endowment. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Look at this. Employ it. Some of us are unemployed. He says, employ it for one another as befits good trustees of God's many-sided grace. Faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. So this spiritual gift, this divine endowment, was not put within us to lie dormant. And it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we will see it fulfilled. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit will thrust us forward to be effective for God and for the kingdom of God. And I know all of you want that, or you wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night. You'd be home, snuggled in your blanket. People up north laugh at us, you know. I listen to the weather people, oh, it's going to be 50 degrees. Oh, God, we're going to freeze to death. You know, I mean, they exaggerated a lot, right? You know. So I know you want more, or you wouldn't be here tonight. You'd be snuggled up in that blanket. Amen. Watching the news or a show or I don't know whatever else y'all do on a weeknight. But you're here because I believe you want more. And God has more for you. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about there is more. So the Holy Spirit is the promise of empowerment. We have to be empowered. If I am going to live successfully for God, if I'm going to be effective for God, I have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So let me kind of, I want you to understand that there is a whole different realm of relationship, of communion with the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk to you about that for just a few minutes. 2 Corinthians 13:14. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So let's zero in on that phrase there, the communion of the Holy Spirit. This is something very, very vital. So he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what enabled us to be saved. The love of God is what provided a plan of salvation. And then he talks about this communion of the Holy Spirit. It's the Greek word koinonia, and the meaning of this word is fellowship. This is the meaning of the word, the Greek word koinonia. It means fellowship, it means partnership, and it means participation. That's what that word means. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers you and I for daily living. The communion of the Holy Spirit is the communication of the Holy Spirit. He will lead us and he will guide us in the path that we should go. And when there is something that is just not right, you're going to sense that. Are you with me? Because the Holy Spirit is going to do that. If you go into an area where you shouldn't be going, you're going to feel something about that. Because the Holy Spirit is going to, that's a good word, that's right, he's going to prompt you. Amen. He's going to speak to you. Because that's how partnership and fellowship and participation works. He leads us and he guides us in the path that we should go. So if I am in communion with the Holy Spirit, I am growing as a child of God. He's leading me in the path that I should go, and he's warning me against the path that I should not go. Listen, let's visit the Gospel of John. Again, chapter 14. Let's look at two other verses in this chapter. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. There it is again. That he may remain with you forever. Then he says, he's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, or take to its heart, because it does not see him, know him, or recognize him. So when you turn on the newscasts, you're not hearing from God because they're not speaking from the Holy Spirit. They don't have the ability to do that, right? I mean, unless they're a born-again child of God, you know, but still, they probably wouldn't have that job very long if they start preaching on the airways. And I did see a weatherman, though, pray on not locally, but this was another state. Bad weather, weatherman goes into a prayer meeting on the TV broadcast. You can Google that. It's incredible. I mean, that guy just stepped out. That had to be the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if he's still employed, but he's still employed by God. Amen? Hallelujah. He's still employed by God. So the world does not see him, know him, or recognize him. So they don't understand anything in the realm of the spiritual. That's why Paul said the natural man, which is simply the person who is not born again, has not had a spiritual rebirth, the natural man or the carnal man cannot understand or discern the things of the Spirit. He said they are foolishness to them. Foolishness. Because Jesus said, here's the reason, because they don't see him, know him, or recognize him. So the world does not have the Holy Spirit. You know, all of these famous people, they might have millions of dollars. These famous musicians and singers and movie stars, they have millions of dollars. But if they don't know Jesus Christ, they don't have the Holy Spirit. So they're lost. They don't have guidance. They don't have direction. They got money, but even the Beatles said, "Can't buy me love." Right? So, come on. So the world does not know him, recognize him, or understand him. But for believers, he's speaking to the disciples. But you know and recognize him. For he lives with you constantly. Man, this is great stuff. I mean, the Gospel of John is powerful. And it says, and he will be in you. Now, notice the word says that he is our counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. So as we walk in communion with the Holy Spirit, we are empowered for every day. We are empowered for every hour. We are empowered for every moment, every minute of our lives. My friends, don't ever lose sight of that. Because the Holy Spirit is constantly at work, advancing you forward in truth. Listen to what he says in John 16 again. We'll look at another verse, verse 13. He says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, things that will happen in the future. This is what communion with the Holy Spirit does. See, you got to have a deep relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's always speaking. He's always moving. He's always working. He's moving us forward in the Word of God, which is what he uses to empower us in our mind. That's why I was talking about the reservoir. That's why Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, tells us that the word is the sword of the Spirit. In the Good News Translation, it says it this way in Ephesians 6:17. He says, accept salvation as a helmet and the word of God as the sword which the Spirit gives you. That's a powerful thought. So the communion of the Holy Spirit is to mature you and to deepen you in Christ. It is a process of growth that empowers you spiritually. And he uses the Word of God to renew you in your mind and to empower you in your walk of faith. So the Word is so important. Listen to this verse in Ephesians 4:23. Paul says this. He says, be constantly renewed, not sometimes, not on Sunday mornings when the preacher's preaching a message or Wednesday night when he's teaching on the Holy Spirit. He says, be constantly renewed. Not by Facebook. Oh, it's getting quiet. Or, thank you. Instagram, what's some of the other ones out there? Instagram, what is it? I thought somebody said something in a pot. TikTok. Gumbo? Something in a pot. Gumbo, I'll take it. Hallelujah. TikTok. TikTok, TikTok. All of those things. Is that renewing your mind? Mm-mm. He says, be constantly renewed in the spirit. This is key. In the spirit of your mind. Having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. What does that mean? To be renewed in the spirit of your mind, it means to have a spiritual mindset. Now, this is not a one-time event, but this is a continuous process that begins at salvation. This process restores spiritual vitality to keep you living in the victory of Christ. So we're talking about communion with the Holy Spirit. We're talking about living and walking in communion with the Holy Spirit. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's going to put us on the right path, protect us from the wrong path. So he says we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That's a very, very important thing. So as the Amplified Bible says, we have to have a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Isn't it amazing how much the powers and principalities of darkness attack the mind? Because it's a mind game. See, and the devil convinces people that they can't be free from whatever they're bound by. He convinces them that they can't change. He convinces them they'll always be sick, they'll always be broke, they'll always be down and out. You know, and whatever else we might throw there in the list. Because he plays a mind game with people. So to me, it really stands out of why Paul says that we need to be constantly renewed in the spirit of our mind. See, a lot of people can't break away from the old sin life because they don't change their mindset. And isn't that amazing? Because the very word repentance means to change one's mind. That's what repent means, to change your mind. Because when you change your mind, you change your direction. Because your path will go according to how you think. That's why the book of Proverbs in chapter 4 says, as a man thinks, so shall he live. Right? He will walk according to his mindset. People that have a negative mindset, they're not very pleasant people because all they talk about is negative things. They have it ingrained in them. You know, it's like the person that comes out, you know, I always try to be so friendly. I'm a very loving guy. Ask my wife. I'm a very friendly, a very loving guy. And it's like, you know, trying to love on everybody. And lady shakes my hand. Pastor, that was one of the worst messages I've ever heard. I said, well, next week I'm going to do better. She didn't really say it that way, but it was kind of something like that. It was a long time ago before I didn't know as much as I know now. But there was a negative mindset. See, it wasn't the sermon that was the issue. It was a negative mindset that was the issue. See, and so many people have a negative mindset, and that's why the Bible says that you have to be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. Have a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Listen to how Paul talks about this in Romans 8, verse 6. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. So if I try to operate according to how I think, then I'm operating according to the mind of the flesh. If I'm always trying to figure it out, or if I think I've got it figured out, that's the mind of the flesh. He says the mind of the flesh is sense and reasoning without the Holy Spirit. And he says that's death. Death that comprises all of the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind, isn't this amazing that he talks about the mind of the Holy Spirit, is life and soul peace both now and forever. People that are not walking in communion with the Holy Spirit, they got a mind problem. And they deal with mental things. But God says that he can heal that by spiritual renewal. I believe that a lot of people's mentality and their mental makeup can change by spiritual mind renewal. It can change because it's a work that the Holy Spirit does. And you know, and when he gets our mind thinking right, man, then we're walking according to a whole different mentality. See, that's what communion with the Holy Spirit does. This is why it is so vital for you and I to live, as he says in this verse of Scripture, to live with the communion, the grace of the Lord, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Well, let me move from communion to a deeper level of what communion is all about, because communion with the Holy Spirit is really about intimacy of the Holy Spirit. The English definition for the word intimacy means close familiarity or friendship. A very close personal relationship. Now, all of y'all know me as Pastor Steve, as the pastor of this church, as a brother in Christ, as a spiritual family member. But nobody knows me like this lady knows me. She's familiar with me for 44 years. So I want you to understand how this intimacy thing works. Close familiarity or friendship. A very close personal relationship. So, you know, we'll use marriage as an example, because the longer you live with somebody, the more the rubber meets the road. Right? There's some things about me that she don't like. Now, I know that's a revelation to many of y'all, but That's just human nature, right? And sometimes I get so silly, and sometimes my silliness goes overboard, and I'm trying to be silly with Becky, and then I'll make her mad because I went overboard with it, especially if I do it in public. What? Timing, you're teaching the next lesson on the Holy Spirit. Familiarity. Now, let's understand, outside of Christ, our spirit was dead in trespasses and sins, right? We read that in the Bible. That means that we are spirit, outside of Christ, we are spiritually separated from God and unable to fellowship with him. And it means that we have no desire for God or spiritual things. So those in our world who are in a lost state, who do not have the Holy Spirit living within them, they are lost because of that reason right there. We just read it in the Gospel of John. Jesus said the world doesn't see him, doesn't know him, doesn't have the Holy Spirit, right? So they are in a dead condition, a lost state, a spiritually dead condition. And here's the reason why. Because it is the Holy Spirit who enables us to respond to God and to have fellowship with Him. It can't even happen without the Holy Spirit motivating us to do it. You can't pray without the Holy Spirit doing it. You can't worship without the Holy Spirit doing it. You can't even come to Christ without the Holy Spirit doing it. And that's why Jesus said, no man can come unless the Father draws him. The entire world left to itself, nobody would ever seek God. Nobody would ever come to church. Nobody would ever cry out to God. It's because of a condition that theologians call, what do they call it? Y'all hang on, it'll come back to me in a moment. Depravity, thank you. It is what theologians call, that reservoir, it got blocked for a moment. It's what theologians call depravity. Total depravity. What that means is the sinful condition keeps us in such a dead state that we couldn't even respond to God in any shape, form, or fashion. And that's why the Holy Spirit has to do it. There's a reason why the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, right? Because without that goodness, nobody would ever come. See, so it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can respond to God, that we can have fellowship with God. Without the Holy Spirit, our inward spirit is dead to the things of God. We are dead spiritually. And the bad news is we have no way to make ourselves spiritually alive. We can't do it. So at the moment someone is born again, the Holy Spirit is imparted to them. It's supernatural. The Holy Spirit is imparted to them, and their dead spirit comes alive. There's no other religion in all the world that gives you this kind of message. None. Only the message of the gospel. So this new life of the Holy Spirit transforms us from dead, lifeless people to vibrant believers who have come alive unto God. Hallelujah. That's the good news of the gospel. Look at what we read. Let's see it illustrated scripturally. Again, Romans 8. It says, but you're not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. Notice this. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God. That's why I always like to emphasize, because there's this concept, you know, and it's thrown in our world that every person is a child. We're all children of God. No, we're not. No, we're not. We are the creation of God, made in the image and likeness of God. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit as a direct result of Christ and the new birth, then you're not a child of God. He says it right here. He says, if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ and is not truly a child of God. Couldn't say it any plainer, right? But then he says this in verse 15 and 16. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. This is an amazing, amazing truth that we have presented in the book of Romans. This incredible salvation experience now qualifies us to this unique relationship with the Holy Spirit. And isn't it amazing that everything that he talks about here, again, it's all connected to what the Holy Spirit does. He says, we live in the life of the Spirit. He's directing us, controlling us. He puts the spirit of adoption upon us where we cry out, Abba, Father. That is simply a personal term that simply means my papa, my father, my daddy. It's a very personal, intimate relationship because he restores sonship or he restores heirship, that we are now people of God. We are men and women of God. This incredible salvation experience brings us into this intimacy with God that is available to us through the inward work of the Holy Spirit. So this intimacy of the Spirit is all about empowering the Christ life within us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us, he reproves us, who leads us, and conforms us to Jesus Christ. Notice how Paul expresses his desire of a close, intimate relationship with the Lord here in Philippians 3:10. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That word know is a word of intimacy. Comes from this Greek word genosko. It means to know through personal experience, to have deep knowledge of. Again, it goes back to the close familiarity or the friendship, a very close personal relationship. Remember when Mary got the announcement that she was going to bear Christ, and she said, how is this possible, seeing that I know not a man? She was talking about on a level of intimacy that produces life, that produces children, right? That's what she was talking about. It's a word of intimacy. So Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that I may know him. So how do we know him? There's where the intimacy of the Holy Spirit goes into operation. Because it is the Holy Spirit who deepens that understanding. It is the Holy Spirit who is the one bringing us to that level, deepening that knowledge, bringing us to that point of understanding and revelation and experience. I mean, it's all about encountering God. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is the one who does it. So when we come into a worship service, how many of you know when they go into the Superdome, boy, the Saints kick the Falcons. Can I say butt? Is that all right in church? Is that all right, Becky? Flip a coin. Well, they beat them pretty bad. Now, when they go into those stadiums, in those football games, I mean, they are alive, right? The spirits have kicked in, right? Y'all want to hear a funny story? Becky was pregnant with Stephanie, 8 months pregnant. We'll go to a Monday night Saints game back in 19. Don't say. Oh, she don't. Oh, I could use this for a fundraiser. How many of y'all can guess Stephanie's age? Dollar a chance. All right, well, anyway. Becky's 8 months pregnant. And we up in the nosebleed section. It's a Monday night game, right? It's exciting. Nosebleed section. Becky's 8 months pregnant. I'm pushing her. Was I not? I was. I'm helping her get there. Nosebleed section. I think we paid $25 if for those tickets. Saints were winning at halftime 35-7. Oh, I remember. So we sit, those spirits are kicked in, not the Holy Spirit. So we sitting behind these people. So if halftime is 35-7. They're playing the Oakland Raiders. You know what the final score of that game was? Raiders 42, New Orleans 35. The people sitting behind us, the profanities were going, I mean, they were using curse words I never heard. And I finally just had enough. I was like Popeye. It was time to eat some spinach. And I turned around and I said, would y'all stop with the profanities? I got a lady sitting here with me. Oh, it got so worse after that. Oh, he's got a lady sitting next. I should have followed the Holy Spirit. He said, stay neutral, boy. It got so bad, we had to get up and leave. She remembers it well. It was. See, they were very fortunate because I wasn't that, you know, I was still pretty new in the Lord. And back in the day, it would have been on. It's just what you did. You know, but praise God, grace. Hallelujah. But when they go into those games, they're excited, man. They're excited. They're full of expectancy. Now, there's something fueling that. But I want you to shift that to the realm of the spiritual. Because the Holy Spirit wants to fuel you and I to be so hungry and thirsty and responsive to God that we can't wait to get to the house of God. We can't wait to praise the name of the Lord. We can't wait to shout and rejoice and praise the name that is above every name. Because it's the Holy Spirit who does that. He's the one. So let me give you the final thought here. See, the Holy Spirit wants to renew you and I. He renews you. Titus 3:5, it says, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. The word renew, English dictionary, to make new, restore freshness, life, or quality. The word renew in the Greek language, the process of being transformed, the adjustment, man, this is powerful definition, the adjustment of moral and spiritual vision. It means to be sanctified. That's what it means. To be sanctified. The process of being transformed. So the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The renewing of the Holy Spirit. He said he saved us by the work of the rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. So the renewing of the Holy Spirit is an ongoing event in the life of a believer. The renewal of the Holy Spirit infuses us with life that changes our very personality. So this renewal process is the result of what the Holy Spirit does on the inside of believers. This inner work gives birth to a spiritual awakening. That's what it does. It gives birth to it. Spiritual awakening. So this renewal process is so incredible because what it does, it creates a love for God, a passion for Christ. It moves us and drives us and motivates us. The result of this renewal is a deeper commitment to Christ, a new dedication to the work of the kingdom. He causes us to sell out because this work of renewal is changing us through and through, mind, soul, and spirit. Everything is being changed. And this inward work of renewal, when it is happening in people, it revitalizes the local church. So the desire to see people saved becomes a burden in the hearts of the people of God. They want to see people saved. So the result of Holy Spirit renewal is a fresh passion to go deeper into Christ. It is a greater hunger for God and His Word. It is a desire to serve and to see the power of God manifested. That's what renewal does. When you and I are empowered by the Holy Spirit and we are responding to Him, man, everything is going to change. Everything is going to be different. I love what we read in Psalms 92:10, and I'll leave you with this. He says, but my horn, that's simply symbolic of strength. He says, but my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. That's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. In other words, I got it hot this morning. Hallelujah. Becky and I went going to a restaurant. Food was a little delayed. I think we had a seafood platter. It was delayed. Guy was apologizing. Said, I'm sorry for the delay. When he finally brought out the seafood platter, he laid it on the count on the table, and he said, fresh out the grease. And all of a sudden, my appetite just left me. Fresh out the grease. Just kind of made me think, well, should I be eating that? You know? But God said in His Word that we can be anointed with fresh oil. You can't live off of, you can't live off of yesterday's power, yesterday's renewal. Do you live off of yesterday's food? No. I remember sitting in on a fishing seminar, because y'all know I like to fish. And the charter guy that was teaching the seminar, he said, regardless of how bad the weather is, regardless of how cold it might be, how cloudy, how rainy, how hot, he said, none of that really matters. He says, because there's not a day in the marsh when the fish aren't hungry. And that really made a lot of sense. I said, you know, that's true. They don't eat once a week, right? Or every other day. You just got to find them, and you got to find the hungry ones. And I believe God says the same thing to you and I. I want to be hungry. Amen? I want to be hungry, and I want a feast at His table.